most confuses people, and I think from my memory of what happened with us, is the idea that forever isn't a long, long time. Our eternity doesn't mean way in the future. There's something about, maybe it's just the American mind and our words, but there's something about when the scriptures say the gift of God is eternal life, that everybody thinks that means we're going to live a long, long time.
As if that were a good thing.
But it's almost impossible for our minds to comprehend a situation in which we live without regard to time. And that eternal life is life, literally life outside of time. And that therefore the gifts of the Spirit, who is from eternity, really can't be dependent on time-dependent things. The idea that our true life is outside of any passage of time, and that the only reason time and space exists is for antagonism, so that you would, that seed, that perfect life that's within you would be put to the test for the purposes of approving by the actions of time and space. I talk about it all the time as though I assume that everybody understands what I'm talking about, but I'm not sure everybody or anybody does. Truth is the essence of the mystery of Christ. And something that is true cannot be time dependent. That was the meaning of the search of Abraham. And why he's called the father of faith. And so, we've got to go backwards a little bit with regard to this predicate of the gifts of the Spirit and the word of wisdom in order to get a better understanding of this. But does anybody have any comments on what I've said thus far?
Yeah, those are all linked. It's like we talk about the cross and all this stuff, and we do forget that it is... It's all part of one.
It's only one
whole thing, and if you don't understand this other thing, you say, yeah, I got all this stuff, but you know, in your mind, the life that goes along with that is not like this long, long time. It's outside. It's weird to get that picture of God looking out on all of time, because we can't even put that in our mind except as a cartoon, you know. So.
Anybody else?
I have something. Dallas said, what he said, nothing.
He forgot.
Well,
Abraham. It's like people, he's the father of faith. The normal mind looks at the heroes of the Bible and they impute and expect good behavior as godliness. So that's, our minds are locked into so many facets of how we perceive and accept reality.
It means they haven't studied Abraham's life.
Yeah,
Abraham wasn't too swift.
Yeah, they only look at the parts that justify the way they want to think. And so until your mind is blown, which is what happens to most people that come around here, you can't start to perceive, because you're too locked into your growth and your high place.
Well, that's why I say when in that incredible night or evening of January 17th, 1972, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. I didn't accept Jesus as my personal Savior. God revealed what was there all the time. But the experience was, you remember I've said so often that I was in an actual physical time, I sat there sobbing for about an hour and a half, quietly. I mean, I wasn't in an audience. But I could have been gone 10,000 years or 100,000 years. And it's unbelievable to most people that I have not learned anything about that revelation of the mystery since then. I knew that I was the chief of sinners. I knew that Christ had been revealed in me. I knew that Christ had met every possible need. I mean, those were the foundation elements of what the experience was. And I knew that I couldn't, you know, talk about, well, I used to be bad, now I'm good, because I used to be bad, now I'm worse. And so the whole idea is connected to time, but so is belief. It's connected to your understanding of time. Otherwise, if you're trying to use belief or faith in time, you will automatically begin to use faith as a commodity to change things or get stuff or something. And you will never understand that it's finished, because your sensual perceptions will override the words, because you give importance to some crazy idea you've had or some feeling. Well, and by you breathing life into those perceptions or ideas instead of abandoning them, then you're back in time again, in the kingdom of darkness. Anyone else? What?
That kingdom of darkness to you seems like light, but it's great darkness because of that deception. I guess that's Babylon or something. You think you're walking with God, but not.
Well, I'm not sure you really do. In the secret part of your life, you know you're a hypocrite, and you get
desperation.
That's why life that's lived on that basis of rules and principles and how-tos, it produces the thing that the entire world hates and can recognize, which is hypocrisy. And you say you don't recognize you're a hypocrite, but I've been there too often and with you and watched as you were challenged. You did recognize that you've always been a hypocrite. And so the reason I'm saying all this is that the preparation for Passover is the removal of this leaven of hypocrisy. So stop acting like you believe if you don't, and stop acting like trying to be a Christian. It just be you. That's why I've said it 1,000 times. Your only job is to be you. And that others will exhort you daily while it is still called today. And others will call you the son of a bitch. But you cannot, if you have love for who you say you love, you are an abject hypocrite, fool, and every other epithet that could be applied. If you do not exhort one another daily while it is still called today, it's only called today because we're in the kingdom of time. It is called today. We don't call it today. We call it eternity. So when I talk about words of wisdom, they have to come from the place of wisdom. They can't say, well, you can't. Somebody may have great discernment and sensitivity of their minds, and they're able to look at you and say, you know, X, Y, Z, but that's not discernment. That's not, from God's standpoint, that's not words of wisdom or word of knowledge. So let's see if
that's
we can.
Being able to read signs well.
Huh?
That's being able to read signs well, augur well.
Well, sure. When you're taught, I mean, people can teach you how to tell if somebody is lying. It's not. That's relatively easy. It's taught in all police academies. You can tell if somebody's lying by their body language. You can tell if somebody's lying by whether they look at you or not. By all kinds of tells in this cosmic poker game. It isn't a great. Oh, he's got some mojo he can see. Well, no. But that's not words of knowledge or words of wisdom. the basis of all everything of the Spirit is this understanding that we, the gift of God, is eternal life, and we live life not subject to time. You, Michael, you look like you've been hit with a brogue again.
Well, it sounds like you're saying the kingdom of time is the kingdom of darkness. It's that simple.
That's right.
That really is.
It's exactly right.
He's in charge of time. Who has authority over time.
Satan took Christ up to a high mountain, and in a moment of time showed him all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future, all of the kingdoms of the world, and their power and their glory. And he said, all this has been delivered over to me. This is Satan speaking. And to whomsoever I will give it. Jesus didn't deny that. He didn't say, oh no, this is God's world, and I'm a king's kid. He's the only one that ever deserved to be called a king's kid. What's going on, Joe? You want to talk to him now? Because you're not hearing. Okay.
I guess we have to be there.
Well, it's the way it should be.
I just think of how that's why we... I just saw why we just preached the cross, because to preach anything other than God presumes that you know the mind of God and how He would expect you to be or not be, which you don't have a clue, because He's the author of everything, and all we can see is, all we do in a normal state is judge good and evil, and that's the position we preach or teach about Him from. But by preaching the cross, it leaves it all into His hands.
I used to really enjoy smoking marijuana. At first, it was the most wonderful thing I'd ever found, and I looked forward to it. And it was great, and it worked. It did what I wanted it to do. And then slowly but surely, it became just a terrible, terrible experience.
You're gonna tell everybody why?
And one that now, if I think about it, it even scares me to even think about, wouldn't it be fun to get high?
One night, when we first started taping, I taught on how you open yourself up to the spiritual, the not good spiritual realm. And I said, there's three ways. One is by worshiping it, giving it breath. The other's by illicit sex, and the other's by drugs. And so Harry was listening to the tape while he was high.
He had a visitation.
Scared the life out of him. Or scared the death out of him, maybe.
I was trying to get the 4 feet from where I was laying over to the tape machine to stop it. It was like I was in ultra slow motion, but it took an hour to get there. Anyway, my point is, we're talking about eternal life and being in time, and that's a picture of my experience now in time. If I go, like this morning, I woke up just depressed, angry, upset. I walked in here just looking for somebody to get in my way so I could kill him, because I dreamed about, I thought about, I played with all night long in my sleep, and I woke up with thinking about later today, tomorrow, next week, the week after, the month after that. How's this going to work? What's that? I got back into that. If I pull out of that, and if I'm just here now in this moment, I'm eminently happy. No problems whatsoever. But the moment I get high again, It's a world of horror.
The other thing I told Harry was he was responsible for his dreams, and that about made him crazy. Oh no, I can't, because this thing just comes upon me.
kid, it's awful.
But the only reason that those dreams would come up is to reveal what you had been doing. It wasn't that they're revealing anything new.
I didn't know.
Yeah, you'd been already thinking about what you're talking about.
Especially this time of year. I'm really tempted this time of year.
What's this time of the year?
Well, I think about Passover. I think about the things that have to be accomplished for Passover. I think people are, this guy's coming to visit, he'll be here this 3 days. Then this other guy's coming, he'll be 3 days. Now I got to get this report ready, and what's going to happen to the magazine, and blah, 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 blah. It's all the limitations.
Well, you might as well take on the war in Iraq.
Well, yeah, but I can go like that to that. But I'm tempted to do that, too, if I watch the news.
All right.
Presidential election.
All right. Let's go to John, chapter 5, chapter 6.
Women killing their babies.
They just think of it as fun.
There's a plethora of things that
all come together.
Yeah, just you gotta stop being in it, and you gotta start just looking at it. Yeah. Doesn't matter what happens; it's just fun to watch it.
Because I was like it earlier.
All right. John chapter 6.
Big John.
Verse 26. This is after he had fed everybody, walked on water, and did all kinds of goodies. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat or that food which endureth unto life or everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might do the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe, trust, rely 100% on him who he has sent." Now that's the predicate for everything, is the understanding that believe on him means no belief on you. You don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. You deny him every time I is the subject of your sentence. You deny him when I is the subject of your thoughts. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? What is going to happen to me over this?
And you immediately then, by definition, the switch is turned and all the works of the flesh are operating. Because the flesh is resurrected and has to work.
Right. So if you're charismatic, then you have to go to a meeting or have to go to a convention. You have to go get the anointing. Because you have left the kingdom of light, which is a continuum, and you return to the kingdom of darkness to gain a little light. That's why it says, even if your eye is double, your whole body is full. I mean, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is double, even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Well, a single eye is a parable for seeing only eternal life. Only looking at the Bible, only looking at life from the place of eternity outward. Never looking at and making judgments by your senses, by your experience, by anything other than him. Because I promise you, any judgment, any decision, anything that you make from the kingdom of darkness will be dark. He's pointing at me.
I just got it. Years and years and years ago, you talked about if you put a 2x4 on the ground, on the floor, and walk across it, you just walk across it. You lift it up 2 feet, it becomes a little more difficult. You lift it up 1,000 feet, it's virtually impossible. It's just God. There's no difference other than what this thing is doing.
That's right. And that's what your whole life is about. The gift of God. This is eternal life. You own all things. All things exist for your purpose. All things have happened so that you can see. You can't have a need. You've been perfected forever. Perfection can't be improved upon. Therefore, by definition, it can't have a need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not need.
That scripture that confuses so many about owning all things in the flesh, it doesn't make sense at all. In the spirit, it's just what he said.
Everything. All things exist for your purpose. So, the predicate for everything is, and this again, the word believe means 100% reliance. Without reliance on you or you, anything about you. Because all things about you, all things about what your experience is and what your little rules of behavior and activity have been, all those are things that you had relied on or had some confidence in before the light. And by definition, those are your mammon. And you cannot serve God in mammon. If you have confidence in your ability, if you have confidence in your intellect, if you have confidence in your piano playing, whatever it is, you cannot serve God and mammon, for you will either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. It's automatic. It's not an option. All right, let's go. Let's look at how did we do this? It's Jim's fault. Let's go to John 5:30, and we're going to explore this more, but. I mean, this is why the disciples were with Christ 24 hours a day for 3.5 years. And they read the scriptures in a particular order so that he could show them and that he was the fulfillment of all in the scriptures. And it didn't do them any good until the Holy Spirit entered their lives. But just think, I mean, this is why it took Paul 21 years before he wrote his first letter. That's why you hear these, oh, the testimony of a new believer is so sweet. No, it isn't. It's garbage. It's meaningless dribble. Dribble. What's that, drool? It's meaningless drool.
Dribble.
Drool. Drool. You heal?
You bet.
Okay, John 5, verse 39. Verse 30. Did you straighten them out, Jim? Okay, good. I've been worried about them. Listen carefully. 5, verse 30. There's a whole bunch of scriptures like this, but we're going to look at this one now to give you something to think about. This is Jesus, who was in the form of God. He was God. And he said, I can do nothing. I can of mine own self do nothing. Now, obviously, he could have flicked his finger and forever got rid of poverty. He could have flicked his finger and never again there would be pain. And he could have flicked his finger or blinked his eye and all of you would be wealthy. But he knew, because he knew the will of the Father. The will of the Father was that which came from the Father, the sperm of the Father, would join with flesh, so this mystery of the tabernacling of God in flesh would take place, so that God could have buddies, pals, friends, so that somebody could speak to God on the same basis. And the only way you do that is by trying everything else out. So now Jesus had tested all this up until he was 30 years old when he was baptized. He'd gone through all the trips of the mind and every possible thing that he could do and all that. And then at his baptism, he knew that that was prefigured his death on the cross. So all oblations, all sacrifices ceased to have their meaning once he was baptized. And that's the only time he spoke. Other than that little phrase he said when he was 12 or something. I must be about my Father's business. Now, look. Now, he knows the Father's will because as Son of Man, he pushed all the limits. Now he knows what the Father needs, what the Father must have, what is necessary for there to be a bride, for there to be fellowship. And so now he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. Even he could of his own self do all things. The world was created by him, for him, by it exists. He could have done anything he wanted. Now he says, but because of the love of the Father, I can, from this point forward, do nothing. I must rely 100% on the Father. I owe my senses and my flesh and my ideas nothing. And so he lived from that moment forward on 100% dependence on the Father. And that's your calling. Does that communicate? So you can't even talk about wisdom without understanding that. Otherwise, by definition, if you don't know, if you're not talking about the wisdom of light, then your wisdom will be the wisdom of the world, which Paul and others call folly, stupid, inane.
You know, when you just said what you just said, it's like it just cleared up everything. Happening in my life. Really simple.
Pushing all the buttons.
It's like, I no longer have to ask myself, what is my purpose?
No.
Right. Okay. That's it.
Good. It's simple beyond simplicity. It's your attempts to understand it that screw you up. Okay. So Rutledge's fault. No, it's really, well, it's both of Rutledge's fault. That we did not get even to the first word today.
We got out of the way. But you guys can just freely go on about it. Actually, Jim and I were going to have a little smoke break, and that's what we're
going to do. Why don't you invite me? Anybody have any response? Ken, you look weird again.
The time subject really kind of, I live my whole life like, you know, I'm going to be here at a certain time. I play my whole life, you know, like thinking I had to be. Of course, none of it's turned out like I had this image that it's supposed to be. So it's like letting go of that. Thinking of things I wanted to do and they have to be done by, you know, a certain time in a certain way.
Why don't you and Harry have a meeting? Out of the mouth of babes. All right, take it, big guy.